For the past several years, we've been reporting on this show on the shocking disappearance of our country's bee population, and now experts have become alarmed as a result of the annual migration of monarch butterflies. That's because the numbers of insects they saw last month were down, way down, by 95%. Joining me now for a look at some of the possible reasons behind the steep drop is New York Times contributor Jim Robbins. His piece, "This Year the Monarch Didn't Appear," was in the November 24th Sunday Review section. I'm very pleased to welcome him to our show. Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well. Last year's migration was a record low at 60 million. How many butterflies were counted this year?
Well, the count isn't in yet, but at the time I wrote the story, it was about 3 million. They're hoping that more will show up. But the timing for the migration has changed for the first time in memory. They used to show up every year on the Day of the Dead, November 1st, and this year they started straggling in a week or 10 days later than that. And so something's up, and people have reported across the country that they're not seeing monarchs like they used to see. So people are still trying to figure out what's going on.
Well, in the past, how many monarch butterflies were typically seen during the migration?
Well, in the 1990s, a billion monarchs showed up.
And this year, 6 million?
So far. And in last year, it was 60 million. So there's definitely something going on, and there's several things, a lot of these kinds of issues. Or a lot of these problems are the death of a thousand cuts, and there's at least four or five things that are contributing to this decline.
Well, I've even seen it on a personal level because I have one of those butterfly bushes in my backyard, and I didn't see as many butterflies this year as I did in the past. Now, I don't know whether that's butterflies in general. I don't know whether I've had too many monarch butterflies, but is this a problem for butterflies in general?
Well, it's a problem for insects in general. In the piece, I also talk about the decline of bees. And what's going on, a big part of what's going on, is there just isn't habitat for these creatures anymore. Across the Midwest, farmers are using Roundup Ready pesticides, and these destroy native vegetation as well as weeds. And so the bees just don't have habitat, and that's a big part of the problem.
One study revealed that the state of Iowa has lost almost 60% of its milkweed, which is a plant that's an important source of nectar for butterflies. Another study found the number to actually be 90%.
That's right. It's been serious decline. And milkweeds are a big part of the decline in the native vegetation. But there's a lot of other kinds of vegetation and other creatures out there who are in decline. And so, but nobody really tracks a lot of different insects that aren't charismatic like bees and butterflies or useful to human beings. And so we really don't have a good handle on what's happening to the rest of the insect world.
Well, we've talked a lot about how bees are important as a source of pollination of plants and crops. Butterflies as well?
Butterflies are important to pollination, but they're not as important as bees. Bees are really the big insect here in terms of usefulness to us. But the bigger picture about all this is, you know, bees and butterflies are disappearing. I wrote a piece a few weeks ago in the Times about how moose are dying around the world, mostly in North America and Canada, but in Sweden as well. And, you know, if you're flying along in an airplane and rivets start popping, you know, you're going to wonder pretty soon, well, how long can you go on with these rivets popping before you lose part of the plane? And that's kind of what people are concerned about, is that these might be symptoms of a bigger problem. And, of course, the bigger problem here is partly climate change.
And you mentioned the herbicide Roundup, but with the bees, there's another problem as well. Isn't there a disease that is killing some of them off?
Well, these things are all related. So they get weakened by herbicides, and climate gets warmer, and so they're more stressed. And then they don't have native vegetation to go to. One of the scientists I spoke to and I mentioned in the piece is bees go to willow trees, and they get resin that is antibacterial, antifungal, antiviral, and they line their hives with this. And if there are no willow trees or aspen trees near these farm fields, then they have no medicine, essentially. The drugstore's closed, and they can't treat the diseases themselves. And so self-medication in insects is a very important part of the ecology, but it's something we really don't know much about. And so that's another problem. So you can see how these issues are kind of linked together.
Well, it's suspected that a kind of pesticide known as neonicotinoids have played a role in the decline of wild bees. Are they affecting butterflies as well?
No, not that I know of, because butterflies don't feed on corn pollen. But they definitely are a factor in the death of bees, although even if neonicotinoids were to be banned, as they are being banned in Europe, a moratorium is coming up here this month, there will still be problems. One, because there are many other herbicides and pesticides, kind of a stew of those chemicals out there in the environment. Nobody knows how they affect bees. And then there are the diseases and climate change.
Well, the fight to preserve native wildflowers goes back to Lady Bird Johnson. Has that movement, hasn't it gotten a little stronger in recent years? Because people are concerned about the disappearance of insects and other animals?
It's gotten somewhat stronger, but at the same time, the spread of Roundup Ready crops, soybeans, and corn has really expanded because the government has had this program to fund corn for biofuels, and Monsanto has greatly expanded the acreage that it sells its Roundup Ready crops on. So, yes, there has been a lot of interest in trying to create new wildlife habitat and insect habitat, and partly through wildflower gardens, but also through planting trees and other vegetation. But it hasn't kept up with the other changes that have been taking place. So there has been a decline in these insects as well.
Well, hasn't the butterfly habitat in Mexico been shrinking as well? That's their breeding ground, isn't it?
That's right. I was down there several years ago, and what's going on is there is a great deal of illegal logging of oyamel fir trees, which is where these butterflies winter. It's these very old-growth trees, and butterflies literally coat the outside of these trees. They come there, and they hang on these trees and overwinter there. And when the sun comes up in the morning, they start to kind of wake up and rouse, and they fly in these great clouds. So it's quite impressive, but what's happened is these trees are worth so much money that there's rings of illegal loggers who come in and simply cut down the trees and cart them out. And so, as I mentioned before, these kinds of problems are a death of a thousand cuts. So you've got Roundup being used on milkweed in the north. You've got trees that are being cut down in their wintering grounds. You've got climate change. You've got just a host of things. And they just haven't been able to sustain themselves.
And it sounds like a situation that can only get worse.
Well, there are people out there working to create new habitat by planting milkweeds and milkweed gardens across the country. It doesn't look good, I'll have to say that. And no one really knows what the future of the monarch is. But there's people trying to do something. And, there's nothing like a crisis to focus the mind. And so perhaps now with the decline of the monarch at an all-time low, people will start to focus on getting something done so the monarch doesn't disappear.
Well, they are.
And I should say it's not the species that might disappear. It's the migration, the spectacular four-generation migration from the northeast all the way down to Mexico and back. And that it's a very unusual, and it seems to be hanging in the balance.
Because they go in steps. There's no way a monarch can fly from New York or Iowa to Mexico in one fell swoop.
They don't do it in one fell swoop. They do it in successive generations. And one of the interesting things is how does a monarch butterfly know where to go over several generations? How do they pass that information on? And that's one of the great mysteries of the monarch migration.
Jim Robbins' piece in the New York Times was "The Year the Monarch Didn't Appear." Thank you so much for being on our show.
You're welcome.